The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It is Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeffrey, how's your day? You have anything going on today? Anything for you?
I'm not as busy as you are. Well, I actually do. I do have your old schedule today. I am hosting PTA.
So you're doing two shows today?
We have two shows.
What kind of schmuck would do that?
I know. We do have that. Oh, but no, my day's nothing compared to the barrage of events you have.
Barrage, including a U.S. Open podcast on the Beating the Book feed and then guesting on two others. But that ain't the half of it. Maybe I'll tell you about another day, boys and girls. But we have a great show today with Crack, Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger, hour number two. Will Hill joins us, and the long-awaited, because Twitter has let us know they have wanted this back. Everybody has wanted this back for a good year now. The return of Dr. Bob. And for those who are wondering, okay, what's the deal? Dr. Bob last year season win totals college football. You ready for this, Jeff? 11-0. On this show, 6-0. Of the ones that were still playable by the time he got on our air. 11-0, 6-0 subset on this. He has 7 of them today. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I know you're not crazy. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
He's got 7 of them today.
It's not a bad year.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
I'm told that's a pretty good record. Now, he will be the first to tell you, listen, don't expect that again.
You're telling me that's not sustainable?
So if it doesn't happen again, don't come running to me. But Bob will join us here momentarily for 7 season win totals, which have only moved in juice. The number has not moved since he first put these out yesterday, but the juice has moved. But they're all still playable, and we'll get to those. Dave Schoenfeld wrote a piece at ESPN Plus. What was I about to say? I was about to say something else. ESPN Plus. Dave Schoenfeld, who writes for writes baseball for ESPN. By the way, a great straight baseball piece that he does here with a quarter of the season left. The quarter poll, if you will. But really is like a great sort of Bible for betting baseball the rest of the season. And we had our Q3 MLB betting show with Mark Borcher the other day. We did first fives. We did first innings. Umpires. Obviously, money lines and run lines, full game. We actually did first 5 run lines as well. It's an incredible way to go down and figure out what's narrative, what's predictive. Well, let's just get into some of the sort of macro stories that any baseball writer would be about, but let's apply them to betting. And we'll go through these one by one just as a reset on these. And we talked first, okay, what's a big story? Albert Pujols, we talked about this yesterday, Jeff, 693. And the numbers, again, for those who missed it, at William Hill actually putting out by the way, Bob just wanted to let us know with the season wins over the years, 47-20-1.
Not bad. Pretty good, Gilly.
20-1 all time. Back to baseball for a second now. So Pujols, those numbers on Albert Pujols, again, as you pointed out yesterday, Jeff, if he does not hit another home run, 693 is where he is. 18-1. 18-1. Bet on that he does not hit another home run. These are at William Hill. 694 to 696 plus 120. That is the short shot. 697 to 699. This is where he ends the season. Plus 160. 700 on the button is down to 7-1. What was it yesterday?
Oh, I'm seeing 11-1 on exactly a 700. And then 701 plus is 7-1.
Oh, you are correct. Yeah. 11-1 on 700 and 701 plus is 7-1. Those are down a little, those two, from yesterday, right?
700 was 12-1 during the show, so that moved very slightly. Yeah. I think 701 was 8-1, so yeah. slight movement, nothing crazy.
Okay, so you can bet on that about Albert Pujols and his charge to become only the 4th player in history to hit 700 home runs, or you can bet on that exactly to the positive or to the negative. Then there's Aaron Judge going for 62 home runs, which would be the New York Yankees record and the American League record. It's not the all-time record, boys and girls. Sorry. I know you want to make it out to be, but it's not. Did you hear anything just now? Somebody say something?
Yo, I got some news that isn't baseball related, if you want.
Hold on. Let me just get the Judge thing out.
Yeah.
Yes, that he gets the 62. You can bet on these at William Hill. Plus 260. The no minus through 350. So if you think it gets to 62, you can still get plus 260 on that. We interrupt this baseball betting stuff for this.
Yeah, this was floating yesterday, and it's I would say it's even worse than we expected here.
Oh, no, please don't say it.
Chet Holmgren is done for the season. Liz Frank injury to his right foot suffered in that pro-am in Seattle over the weekend.
Brutal.
That video circulated. LeBron crossed him up, and Holmgren tried to make a play and kind of fell awkwardly.
Brutal.
Absolutely brutal for, again, a talent who, very unique talent, very skinny. All we talked about, just how skinny he was in the games we saw in person of Gonzaga here in town, and his season is done before it even starts.
Oh, and he was great at Summer League. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I sent you this text yesterday. I sent Preston this as well. As soon as it came down, I'm like, oh, my God, this would be awful. Their season win total, when it first came out, seemed way low. Now it seems like, oh, poor Thunder. Like, they cannot catch a break. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they stop this game a quarter later because the court had moisture that they couldn't get rid of?
I don't know. I was not paying attention at all to the
pro-am. I'm pretty sure that is correct. So after this happened, and I don't know if the two things are related, maybe LeBron crosses him over and this happens whether the court is slick or not, but they literally stopped the game a quarter later because they couldn't dry up the court because of condensation from humidity and what a horrible thing.
That was from Woj, by the way.
For the Thunder, what a horrible thing for the NBA, what a horrible thing for NBA fans. Chet Holmgren, out for the season before it even starts. Number 2 pick in the draft. Man. Well, no artful way to segue back to this. Paul Goldschmidt, by the way, there is no prop. Now, while we have props for Albert Pujols and we have props for Aaron Judge, Pujols to get to wherever he gets, landing on his final home run total, and Judge to get to 62. Paul Goldschmidt, he is 9 points ahead of Freddie Freeman in batting average. We're talking about Paul Goldschmidt for the Triple Crown. Prohibitive favorite to be the MVP. Someone will put up a Triple Crown number at some point, one would think, if this persists. But he's 9 points ahead of Freddie Freeman for the lead in batting average in the NL. He is 3 behind Kyle Schwarber in home runs in the NL, 31 for Goldschmidt, 34 for Schwarber. I believe he's tied for second. And he has 100 RBI, 2 behind Pete Alonso. So leads in batting average, 3 behind homers, 2 behind in RBI. Miguel Cabrera, last Triple Crown winner 2012, was also behind in a couple categories at this point. What number would you need, Jeff, to play yes, Paul Goldschmidt will win a Triple Crown, hypothetically?
Okay, so he's going to win the batting crown.
Yes.
Like, that I feel very confident that he's going to win the batting crown. So let's go through this, Gil. I think it's a coin flip to be the RBI champ
home
right
run.
Now.
Home runs is the
home
problem.
Home run is the problem.
It's the problem.
Now, the one thing with that, though, is the guy he's chasing is not 100% healthy.
Yeah.
He's playing through not being 100% healthy. So he still probably need. Oh, and also, by the way, Austin Riley's tied with him, too. So that's not a person you want to be having to beat in that also. It's got to be what? 10-1? 9-1 at least? Maybe more, longer than that, right?
Yeah, I think so. So I don't know. I'd need a pretty big number on it still. But that prop should come out somewhere as well. So individual
someone
props.
Should put that up.
So Dave Schoenfield sort of inspired these. Let's just talk about divisions now, Mets and Braves. The Mets, I know you know this, Jeff. It's only a 1.5 game lead over the Atlanta Braves. And you can still get the Braves, and always, again, shop around for all these, but you could still get the Braves at a pretty tidy plus 220, I'm seeing, at BetMGM to win the NL East. If you look at remaining strength of schedule, the Mets have the easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball. 446 collective win percentage, aggregate win percentage of the remaining schedule. But Atlanta's is 480 against. Atlanta's is 22nd out of 30. The Mets are 30th. You don't want plus 220? They only play each other 3 more times, those two teams.
I'm hanging with what I have. I'm going to either go down with it or I'm going to win with it at this point, Gil. So I think that this is going to come down to that. They play the last weekend of the season, which is game 157 through 159. Division's coming down to that series. That's what it's just going to be at this point. Braves don't lose. Mets are going to dominate the bad teams. It's coming down to that.
It's just, man, what could go wrong for your Mets? Guardians, 4-game lead now over both the Twins and the White Sox in the AL Central. Guardians minus 175. At BetMGM, White Sox 3-1, Twinkies plus 450. Remaining schedule of those three teams, not a whole bunch going on here. Cleveland's 19th. White Sox, actually White Sox the easiest of the bunch, 27. So the fourth easiest remaining schedule for the White Sox. But the Guardians are right at 19th, so they're middling. And then Minnesota's also super middling at 16th. So
you're telling me the Twins collapsed? Wow.
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 But the point is, you wouldn't bet the White Sox or Twins here.
How can you bet either of those teams?
I could not.
We know what the White Sox are, and the Twins are the Twins. They choke.
Yeah. The other thing Schoenfeld brings up is what we brought up yesterday about Tony Gonsolin and him being 16-1. Down to now, yesterday he was 8-1 to win the NL Cy. Now I'm seeing plus 425 at DraftKings. What am I saying here? Plus 450, pardon me, at DraftKings. Plus 450. What Schoenfeld points out, though, that I didn't realize. You know what the best record is with just one loss in all of baseball history? 18-1, Roy Face, the 1959 Pirates. The best record with only two losses, Greg Maddux, 19-2 in 1995. Remember, Urias was 20-3 last year and got no sniff of this. But if Gonsolin gets a couple more wins, we're talking about history with a win-loss record. Could win-loss be making a comeback on his way to a Cy Young? Dr. Bob next, college football season win totals numbers game.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, it's my long-lost friend, pioneer in predicting sports through the use of predictive algorithms, also has technical analysis as well. It's the great Bob Stoll. You know him better as Dr. Bob. How you doing, Bob?
I'm good, Gil. I'm still a pioneer, I see.
You don't want to be a pioneer? You don't like that?
Well, I am, but it makes me sound like my metrics are old. My metrics are constantly improving, Gil, as you know.
All right. So we'll get rid of pioneer. we'll think of something new.
I don't know if there is anything new.
TikTok celebrity Dr. Bob. How's that? No?
I don't even know what a TikTok is,
okay,
Gil.
Okay, well, I'll try. We'll come up with something. How you been, man?
Not as hip as you.
You good?
Doing all right. Yeah, I got family in town. My oldest kid is now in kindergarten, so he's gone most of the day, which allows me to get more work done.
Can I remind people, Bob? I know you do you want to say what when I didn't talk to you for 3 months and I called you and I said, "How you doing? Do you remember the first thing out of your mouth? Do you want to repeat what you said about your children?"
No, my son's a-hole.
Something to that effect.
I think most 5-year-olds are.
Something to that effect. All right, I gave the old street cred before at the top of the show. 11-0 in season wins last year, 6-0 when you came on this show, but the overall record, 6-0 subset on this show, 47-20-1 college football season wins. You're back at it. You've released a whole bunch. You've got 7 that you want to share today. Is there anything else you'd like to add just in terms of what goes into this for you?
Well, a lot of this is based on, I've been keeping track of, returning production in every category you can think of, tackles for loss, passes defended, sacks, offensive line starts returning, receiving yards percentage returning, rushing yards, quarterback, returning starter, yes or no, blah, blah, blah. I've been keeping stuff for, I've got going on almost 20 years of data, and I also have metrics in each category, rushing offense, passing offense, rushing defense, et cetera. and how teams change from one year to the next based on their returning production. And there are different algorithms depending on new coach, new defensive coordinator, second-year coach, third-year coach, fourth-year coach, or more. So I have all these algorithms that got years and years, almost two decades of data on. So it's a pretty good measure of – I have a pretty good measure of how much a team is likely to improve or not improve. Things that had to be changed a little bit in recent years because of transfers. So I have a talent. I used to have just a recruiting ratings the previous 3 years, recruiting ratings. Now I use current talent ratings, which are a little bit of a recruiting rating based on, you know, which includes transfers and such. So it's a little different now because it used to be one or two transfers, you know, per team, and you just have to kind of factor those in. Now they're rampant. So I do a talent rating instead. I work that into the algorithm instead of recruiting ratings. But other than that, it's been about the same process over the years.
Do you feel like it gives you an incrementally better edge, though, that all this is going on now in so much as that you are that much, you know, deeper into it than most?
Well, you know, last year was a funny example. Normally I have about 8 or 9 or 10 teams that qualify under the threshold, like, oh, I need a certain differential from my predicted wins to the actual adjusted wins, you know, adjusted based on odds. You know, like, you know, over 5 minus 150 is more like 5.4. You know, so based on adjusted win totals, odds-adjusted win totals, normally I need a certain differential to make something a play. Last year I had 25 qualifying. And I thought, God, that's a lot. I thought, well, maybe my stuff is off a little bit because of COVID the year before, and there weren't a lot of non-conference games, which could kind of mess with your ratings a little bit, perhaps. I thought, well, maybe there's just more variance because it was COVID the previous year, and there's just more variance with all the transfers and stuff. And so I got conservative and only released 11. Of course, those went 11-0. If I had released all 25 that qualified, it would have been 24-1. So, as it turns out, I mean, I had a reason to be conservative, thinking there's more variance. Yeah. But the variance wasn't in my ratings. The variance was in the bookmakers. They're the ones that were off, not me, as it turned out. And I think having those talent ratings and handling all the transfers as I did, I think that made a big difference.
All right. Let's.
So I was ahead of the game last year, even though I was super conservative. And this year, I still think I have an edge. I've always had an edge in these.
And again, the disclaimer, don't expect Bob to still win at this rate. Like, it's just not sustainable.
Yeah, there was 1 year I went 0-3. And the previous 2 years, I was 5-2 and 7-1. And then I had an 0-3. So I have had one losing season on these win totals. So you never know.
Yeah, and let me guess, people gave it to you. They're like, oh, you're the worst. Trust me.
The win totals suck. You know, actually, the year I went 0-3 on the win totals, I think I won 62% of my game best. So I had a really good season overall. So I didn't really hear too much negativity about the 0-3 on the win totals that year.
Let's start in the Pac-12. Let's go to the bottom of the Pac-12. Arizona is your first. What do you got?
Yeah, you know, this is a team. They were 1-11 last year in Jed Fisher's first year as head coach. And they would have been 0-12 if they hadn't caught Cal with their offense decimated by COVID. They won that game 10-3 because Cal's offense was missing like 8 starters, you know, and just couldn't move the ball. So they could have seriously been 0-12 last year, but this is a much different team. Quarterback upgrade, not that, you know, Plummer was bad last year. He had some, you know, receiver injuries and such. Jaden Delora comes over from Washington State and comes right. He was a Pac-12 freshman of the year last year. And not only do you get a huge upgrade at quarterback, but you also get an All-American caliber wide receiver in Jacob Cowing coming over from UTEP. Cowing managed to average 12.0 yards per target, not yards per catch, yards per target, playing with a quarterback at UTEP that only completed 55% of his passes. So a huge upgrade with Cowing as now the number one receiver. Not only that, you have a top 10 wide receiver recruit freshman coming in, and last year's best receiver, Dorian Singer, only played 5 games, which was part of the reason the offense struggled. He averaged 9.1 yards per target with lesser quarterbacks, and now he's back healthy. So they have 3 legitimately good wide receivers and a good quarterback. So I think the offense is going to be night and day different. That defense is still going to be probably worse than average But they do have a new defensive coordinator and eight returning defensive starters. They're not going to get up 14 yards per catch most likely. So the defense should be better, but still not good. But I think the offense is going to be much better. They just need to win four games, three games to break even going over three. And I have them favored in home games against North Dakota State, Colorado, and Washington State. And they have a decent chance at closing with a home win against an Arizona State team that's down. That probably have an upset or two somewhere along the way. So much more likely to win four or more games than they are to win two or fewer.
All
so
right.
Good bet on Arizona over three, up to minus 135 is the best bet, but up to 150 is still pretty good value.
Yeah, I saw minus 145 over three at DraftKings last night.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's still a good bet at up to minus 150. I just don't like to tie up that much of my bankroll. You know, so I go for a higher return on investment to make them plays, to tie up all that money for the whole season, but still a good bet up to minus 150. I just only want to release the clients at minus 135 or less because I don't want them tying up their bankroll on, you know, on 10% ROI bets, but it's still 10% ROI at minus 150. So
Can we do the next one in 90 seconds? Your homer team
I can
here?
Try.
Cal over five and a half.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. Yeah, you know, Cal's always got a good defense under Justin Wilcox. And last year, their offense was actually very good. They were 0.7 yards per play better than average, if you exclude that Arizona game when their whole offense was out. In the other games, they averaged 415 yards of offense and 6.5 yards per play to go along with a good defense. But Cal was actually a good team last year, but struggled to win games because they were 0-5 in one-possession games. They still ended up at 5-6 in their non-COVID games. So getting to six wins is not that much of a stretch. I don't think the offense is going to be quite as good, but they do have an experienced quarterback. Purdue's former starter, Jake Plummer, comes in. He's completed 65% of his nearly 500 career pass attempts. So he's a solid quarterback. They have some good running backs. I think the offense is going to be decent, not as good as last year with Chase Garbers, but decent. Defense is always good. So I think Cal is an underrated team, mostly likely to do their 5-7 record last year. But 0-5 in close games last year, they could have easily been 7-5 or 8-4. So I think Cal's an underrated team coming into the season.
Okay. A couple Pac-12 overs right there. Arizona over 3 and Cal over 5.5. And that one didn't move that much. I see minus 120 on the over 5.5.
Yeah, and that's still a best bet. I don't know what I had it up to minus 130 or 120. Yeah, best bet up to minus 120 and still good value up to minus 130.
Okay. We got five more, Bob. We're going to do 2 minutes on each. Five more season win totals from the great Dr. Bob. Don't call him a pioneer, though. He will scold you for that. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Pro Football Guide is out now. This year's guide is packed with Super Bowl and playoff predictions, season win total best bets for every team, best ways to bet rookie quarterbacks, all of it. Plus a bookmaker breakdown on what futures the public and respected bettors are making. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides is to become a VSiN All Access subscriber. Sign up on our discounted football special and get all access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175 or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Dr. Bob is with us. The great Dr. Bob, who again last year 6-0 on the show with season wins, went 11-0 on the ones he released, would have gone 24-1 had he gone with deeper season win totals last year, 47-20-1 all-time on the college football season wins. Let us continue, Bob, with, by the way, you can follow Bob at drbobsports, at drbobsports.com, drbobsports.com as well. Eastern Michigan, what you got?
Well, this is a team. I like the coach, Chris Creighton. You know, it took a terrible program to turn it into a mediocre MAC team. They win between 5-7 games almost every single year. But last year's team was lucky. I mean, they were 7-6 overall, but they were outgained by 0.8 yards per play and were more like a 5-7 team than a 7-6 team last year. This team is not going to be as good. Offensively, they have to replace Ben Bryant, who came over as like a one-year rental. He came from Cincinnati. He was a backup quarterback there. Came to Eastern Michigan last year, had a solid season, Now he's going back to Cincinnati to be the starter this year for the Bearcats. And they replace him with Taylor Powell, who was 1.8 yards per pass play worse than an average quarterback at Troy last season and couldn't even keep his job at Troy. So Powell is a huge downgrade at quarterback. A lot of safe throws. 66% completions, but only 10 yards per completion is not going to do it. So the Eastern Michigan offense is not going to be as good. The passing attack is not good with Powell. The running attack might be one of the worst in the nation. They were horrible last year running the ball, and they lose their leading rusher, average 6.2 yards per run. The rest of the running backs combined for 3.8 yards per run last year against a pretty easy schedule of defenses. So I just don't see how they're going to move the ball that well. The defense last year was terrible, allowing 6.3 yards per play last year. They had all 11 starters back last year and were still terrible defensively. Probably not going to be that much worse. They have six starters back this year, but they're probably going to be about just as bad as they were last year defensively. It's basically a case of not as good an offense and pretty lucky last year to win seven games instead of five. I just don't think they're a six-win team. I see them, more in the 4-5-win range this year, much more likely to win four or fewer games than to win six or more. So,
all right,
under 5.5.
Would you play an under 6 minus 150? I'm seeing that in some spots.
Yeah, I saw that. I have under 6 up to minus 160.
Okay,
it's still a best bet.
Okay.
Yeah, I see some sixes and under 5.5 up to minus 120.
All right. This next one, just anecdotally, based on other college football guys that we've had on this summer, you're sort of contrarian on Houston. You're not as bullish on the Cougars as some others.
No, well, Houston, they were 11-1 in the regular season last year, but they really didn't outgain their opponents by very much. I mean, they were only 0.4 yards per play better than average on a national scale, and they're probably going to be worse on both sides of the ball. They lost their leading rusher, Alt McCaskill, towards ACL in the spring. Clayton Toon is in his fifth season as a quarterback, but quarterbacks with that much experience in a third or fourth season as a starter don't usually improve at all. So he should be about the same, which is decent, a little bit better than average passing game. I think the running game is going to be worse than average. Here's the thing about Houston last year. They were 11-1. They shouldn't have won 11 games. The biggest thing for them was they had a defense last year that was only 0.5 yards per play better than average, but they allowed only 25.7 on third down conversions. Extremely lucky. Lots of variance there. The previous two seasons, they gave up 37% and 38% on third downs running the same system. The big difference this year is that they will not have two NFL caliber cornerbacks. They had two corners that were drafted in the third and fourth rounds of the NFL draft. They don't have those guys this year. So being plus 16.5% on third down conversion differential is not going to happen this year. That's extremely lucky, tons of variance, and they're not going to have two shutdown corners to help them on third down on defense. So I think the defense is going to, not be nearly as good in points allowed because they're going to give up more third downs. So this team is looking more like a 8-win team and not a 10-win team that you're going to need to get over 9. So I just think last year was a lucky season for them. A lot of positive variance, and I just don't think they're going to be as good this year without two NFL cornerbacks. So
right.
I have under 9 wins, up to minus 125.
All right. We got we have three more. We got 90 seconds for each of these, Bob. Just keep that timing in mind.
All right.
Taulia Tagovailoa in Maryland. Where do you stand on them?
Yeah, I like Tagovailoa. I mean, he's been great the last year. He's completed 69% of his passes last season, 7.3 yards per pass play, despite losing his most explosive receiver, Dante Dimas, for most of the year. He only played 5 games. He averaged 14.1 yards per target in those 5 games, and then he was lost, and they still put up good numbers offensively. Dimas is back. They also add Florida's number one receiver, Jacob Copeland, came over as a transfer. He averaged 10 yards per target for the Gators last year, and leading receiver Rakeem Jarrett is back. They are loaded at receiver. This is going to be one of the best offensive teams in the Big Ten. I mean, not as good as Ohio State, obviously, but it's sort of in the range of Michigan. They're going to be a very good offensive team with 9 starters returning and all the great receivers. The defense, still not so good, but not terrible. They're not terrible defensively. They're just not good by Big Ten standards. But they have 85% or better to beat four teams on the schedule, Buffalo, Charlotte, Northwestern, and Rutgers. And I think they're going to be – there's a bunch of toss-up games in there. I have them favored against SMU and Indiana. There's six games right there they're going to be favored in. So going over six, I think they're going to have an upset or two. I think Michigan State's an upset possibility, possibly Purdue at home. It's a toss-up game. This team could easily win eight games, and I think getting to seven is much more likely than winning five or less. So Maryland over six up to minus 120 is the best bet, up to minus 130 for good value.
Okay, for those who are missing this, we'll put them all in the newsletter. We'll run some social clips. Jeff is putting his thumbs up, so if you missed it, don't worry. We'll have another chance to hear about it. Texas Tech, Red Raiders, what do you like?
Yeah, I went over Texas Tech last year and won, despite Tyler Shough getting injured in the fourth game of the season. Star quarterback came over, had a great season at Oregon in 2020, came to Texas Tech last year, was having a great season, then got injured in the fourth game, and the Red Raiders still managed to go over five wins for me. And now a new coach, Joey McGuire, inherits a really good situation. Shough is back. They have a good backup quarterback. And they bring in offensive coordinator Zach Kitler. And if you're not familiar with Zach Kitler, he brought his Sam Houston offense to Western Kentucky last year. And Western Kentucky went from one of the worst offensive teams to one of the best offensive teams in the country. They have a talented receiving group, a talented future NFL quarterback, and potentially one of the top 10 to 15 best offenses in the nation. Defense is mediocre, but not terrible, similar to Maryland. And I give them a 70% chance of winning in four games, four of their games, 70% or better, and they have three games in which they'll probably be underdogs, NC State, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. But then they have a bunch of toss-up games. I think getting to seven wins is not going to be a problem. I think they should win seven games, and they're over 5.5, and getting to six wins or more is very likely. So I have best bet over 5.5 wins up to minus 125 and good value up to minus 130.
All right. And finally, Bob, Utah State.
This was one of my biggest winners last year. Utah State over 3.5 wins, and they won the Mountain West in an 11-win season. But a lot of that was really lucky. And they, lucky in terms of third down differentials, lucky in terms of converting fourth downs where their opponents only converted 25% of fourth downs. And they're not only were lucky last season, they just they weren't actually that good. They averaged 5.9 yards per play. They gave up 5.8 yards per play. So to win 11 games being very mediocre offensively, very mediocre from the line of scrimmage, was very, very lucky. And they won't be as good. They lose an All-American receiver in Devin Thompson, who caught 102 passes, 1,700 yards, and over 10 yards per target. That's why Logan Bonner had a career year, because he had a great wide receiver. In his other two seasons as a starting quarterback, he was worse than average. So Bonner's going to regress. He'll probably still be better than average, but he won't be nearly as good at throwing the ball as he was last year. And the defense doesn't look that good either. Last year, they gave up six yards per play against teams that would average only 5.5 yards per play against an average defensive team. So they were not good defensively last year. They just were lucky on third downs and fourth downs. And they figured to be worse than average again defensively this year. So this is just a team that was overrated because of last year's success. And I have them winning about six games this year, and the total seven. So under seven wins at minus 135 or better, still good. And I've seen as low as minus 120 still.
Bob, you're the best. My job was to stay out of the way. Mission accomplished. We'll run them all back after the break for the audience, but we have them up on the screen now, but I'll say them out loud for the radio side. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it, man.
All right, good luck. Sorry to be so long-winded.
No, you're great. Dr. Bob, everybody. Tennis update next as well. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Skill Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Let us just review those Dr. Bob season win totals for those who wanted to get them in one nice, tidy sort of list here. And we will put these in the newsletter as well. Arizona over 3, Cal over 5.5, Eastern Michigan under 5.5, Houston under 9, Maryland over 6, Texas Tech over 5.5, Utah State under 7. Please do pay heed to the parameters that Bob mentioned, though, on all of those, but they are all still playable currently. So that's that. Now, if you missed the big story this morning, and this went down yesterday, but it was confirmed, Chet Holmgren with the Liz Frank injury, out for the season. My goodness. The Oklahoma Thunder. And that's just terrible for basketball fans in general. So much was so promising, and, you know, we'll see him back, hopefully. And hopefully, Liz Frank injuries are a little pesky, though. You know, so you just hope for the best with all that. But we hope him a speedy recovery. The big football injury, Tyron Smith of the Cowboys, dunzo as well for the football season. He suffered a torn left hamstring in practice yesterday that could cost him multiple months, they're calling it. Multiple months. I don't know if that means 2 or 4 or 3 or whatever of the NFL season. I have some Cowboys fan friends, though, who are like, it's 2 years past his prime. It's funny how they reacted to it.
Well, the bigger issue is week one, they get to play the Bucs.
Yeah.
Shaq Barrett's pretty good last time I checked.
Pretty good.
Not what you want out of the gate.
And then the other thing is Novak Djokovic. This was anticipated, but it got official this morning just ahead of the U.S. Open draw. The 21-time major champion will have to withdraw from the U.S. Open. He will not be a participant. 3-time winner of the U.S. Open, cannot enter the United States due to his vaccination status and the updated CDC rules confirming that. So Novak Djokovic misses his second major of the season because of his stance on the vaccine, of COVID-19. Remember, in the Australian Open, he was deported after being in Australia. So Novak will not be in this tournament, and so the men's draw becomes that much more open, but that was anticipated. By the way, one tennis bet today. I am on Diane Perry. -117 is the play on Diane Perry. That is in one of these, again, one of these squirrely tournaments right before the majors, right before the major, that is the U.S. Open. Perry taking on Tatiana Maria, the German player. Would be nice to have a little 5-match win streak here. Going into the U.S. Open, and that's what that would be if that gets home for us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of the New York City Cast, wherever podcasts are available. Man about town, Will Hill. How you doing, Will?
Gil, wish you gave me another minute there to get my Diane Perry action in, but I'll have to wait till I get off.
All
How's
right.
it going?
Sorry about that, man. I should have lagged. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll do this. I'll do this because this is a segue into you. You could do what you want to do, but we're going through Dave Schoenfeld's article at the ESPN Plus earlier and sort of applying it to gambling numbers. And we went through Pujols, and there's a prop for that, and Judge getting to 62, there's a prop for that. Also, obviously, the division races in both the NL East and the AL Central. He also points out the Dodgers right now on pace for 113 wins. By the way, they're 85-37. They're 2 games behind the 2001 Mariners. Mariners at this point in 2001 were 87-35. They, of course, have the 162-game era record of 116 wins. I'll be interested if someone puts up a prop for that. And then it's your Yankees, of course, and just a heat check on your Yankees. Only the 69 Cubs, with 40 games left, were up 8, blew it. The 78 Red Sox, Bucky, friggin' Dent, that was that year when the Red Sox were up 8.5 on the Yankees. Yankees came back with 8.5 down with 39 games remaining. And then the 95 Angels, the famous Randy Johnson and Ken Griffey Jr. team catching them. So it would be only the 4th time in history. What are you feeling about the Yankees right now? Would you make a bet on the Blue Jays or the Rays?
No. On Saturday, once Cole lost and it got down to, I think, 6 in the loss column, he started to look at the schedule, count how many games were left. Toronto's got an easy schedule coming up. But I think we're past that. I think winning three in a row, which they won them all by the same score of 4-2, which I don't know how often that happens. But I think they're okay. The next seven are against the Angels, the A's. As long as you go 4-3, 5-2 in that stretch, you start to pair off the games. Eventually, you're going to look up, and there's going to be 30 games left. And if you're still up 7 or 8 with 30 to play, the math just becomes almost impossible. So I think the Yankees are in good shape.
20-1 on the Blue Jays to win the AL East. Always shop around for these Rays, 80-1. Schedules for all three teams, not really super noteworthy in terms of remaining schedule, although Tampa Bay would have the hardest of the bunch, actually third hardest remaining in terms of collective win percentage of their opponents. So that is something with the Rays. All right. Do you have baseball plays for today, sir?
Yeah, there's not a lot. I did take Toronto laying like $1.60 or so against the Red Sox, and I took the Guardians, who are suddenly pulling away, as you mentioned, in the AL Central. We're really not going to have a lot of races here in baseball. We'll have Mets, Braves, but other than that, these pennant races are kind of boring, especially if the Central leads keep opening up. But I did take Cleveland, and I took Toronto. McKenzie going for Cleveland. McKenzie's quietly turned into one of the great stars. I think he had 14 or 15 strikeouts his last game. I think it was on like Friday night. It was like my last day in Vegas there last week. So McKenzie's pitched well. Mariners with a terrible loss yesterday against Washington. They had a bunch of chances. And I thought, I forget who hit it, but I thought he hit a 3-run homer for Seattle, down 2 in the bottom of the ninth. Died just at the track. But I am playing Cleveland and I'm playing Toronto. And what is a light card? And I don't know if you saw this. I think we were texting about it last night. The Mets are up to minus 440 at some books. That has to be the biggest line of the year.
That is the biggest line of the year. I think someone crept into 400 before, but minus 440 is the biggest line of the year. We have gotten to that point. Two preseason games, week three, the final week of preseason football kicks off tonight. And Packers-Chiefs is one of them. If this was a regular season game, that would be a marquee matchup. Packers, a very slight favorite here. 1.5 is what it is right now. And then the 49ers and the Texans, where according to Kyle Shanahan, there won't be more than a half of Trey Lance, maybe not even a half, but they certainly won't get past halftime. 49ers, a 3.5-point favorite against the Texans. Any action here?
Believe it or not, I am not touching anything.
What?
I'm good. I'll see you in the regular season. We got college football. I did have a couple college plays.
Please.
One college play.
Please.
I did take Northwestern plus the, I think, 13.5 against Nebraska. They returned most of their offense, most of their offensive line. They got a pretty good running back in Hull, so should be able to run the ball, shorten the game. That just seemed like a big number. So I'll dip my toe in the water and take Northwestern in a game that's, 11:30 Saturday morning on the East Coast that I believe is being played in Ireland.
Yes. Dublin, Ireland. Okay, you have that. By the way, back to the Niners for a second, because we touched on this. I did the Beating the Book podcast, the NFL season preview with Las Vegas Chris and with Matt Brown. And this is before, this is last week. So this is before, actually, it was Monday, pardon me. This was before Brett Favre came out and was like, hey, like Jimmy Garoppolo should be their starter. This is before people have been buzzing about this week. I posed it to them and I'm like, shouldn't the Niners, like all of this talk about Jimmy G just being scuttled, haven't we gotten to the point where, again, we said this a few days back, where it's like the Niners have almost painted themselves into a corner where it's like you're not going to get anything for, you're not going to get proper value in a trade. You, at this point, all these other teams are waiting for you to just cut him. If you're that close to a Super Bowl, what exactly are you doing? Like, shouldn't you just eat it and be like, yeah, let's go for it?
So you're suggesting just hold on to him?
I'm suggesting that exactly. Yes.
Yeah, 100%, because Lance runs a lot. I mean, he rolls an ankle or something, and then you need a backup quarterback, and then you don't have Garoppolo. Yeah, he helps you more on your team than not on your team. I totally agree. Now, look, it gives you a safety net here if Lance just falls on his face. We haven't seen a lot of him. If he ends up being a bust, you know what? You put Garoppolo back in there, which will be tough with everything you gave up for Lance. But I agree. I don't think it makes any sense to just cut him or give him away.
Jimmy G, who, through no fault of his own, they were up on Kansas City in the Super Bowl. And then last year on their run through the NFC Championship, played very well, made some huge plays. I'll ask of you what I asked of them on that podcast as we go out here. Give me your team that goes against conventional wisdom in each conference where you can see a scenario where one of the teams that are considered elite might not even make the postseason. Who's the team in each conference?
I know it's the Rams in the NFC just because I question their offensive line, and they are such a stars and scrubs sort of model where a couple injuries would really derail them. I know you can say that about a lot of teams. So I will say the Rams. In the NFC, in the AFC, I guess I'll go with the Bills just because I think I'll just go with the Bills. I think they're being a little bit overvalued by the market. They should be pretty good, though.
Will, always great to see you, man. It was great meeting you. Great having you in studio last week. Great meeting the family and your, 75 children. It was awesome.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. See ya.
Will Hill, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game, the New York City cast. You can follow him at Not The Will Hill. Two E's on the V. Crack, next.